Well, today we want to talk, I'm going to talk to you about communion, since we're going to be taking it. And so the title of my sermon is Jesus, the Bread of Life. I've enjoyed my study on communion. Every time I teach on it or every time we have communion, I've got to go back into the scriptures and try to dig deep, try to figure out what it's all about. And how many of you know that communion is a difficult subject? Because you're talking about tremendous implications of drinking the blood of Christ and eating His flesh. It's a difficult teaching. And, you know, we're in danger a lot of times of coming in here and doing it habitually and just taking it and not thinking anything about it. My goal today is that we won't do that. It won't be habitual today, that you really will be thinking about it, about eating the flesh and drinking the blood and what that means. You know, I shudder to think how many people take it and don't have a clue what it means, including myself for many years. You just did it because you did it, right? But if you sit back and think right now, what does it mean to you to take communion today? The last time I spoke about this, I came out of 1 Corinthians 11, which is Paul talking to the Corinthians about how to take communion, how to take the Lord's Supper. And Scripture says he wasn't happy with the Corinthians because they weren't doing it right. My title last time was that communion is serious. But Paul was unhappy with the Corinthians because they were getting drunk before they came to communion. You gotta remember, they didn't really have a template for this. They didn't really understand what was going on. But Paul said, some of you are getting drunk when you're coming to these meals, because they had more meals. They weren't just eating a wafer. They were eating a full meal. And they were getting drunk. They were being selfish. And Paul said, in general, he said, you're taking the communion in an unworthy manner. And he said this, listen to this. He said, and this is why some of you are sick and dying. Think about that. I mean, think about the implications of that. Again, if you think about our culture now and the way we take communion a lot of times and how just flippant it is for us. In other religions, it's very, very flippant where you do it nearly every day without thinking. We do this all the time. It's just human nature. We come to church the same way. We give our tithe the same way. And all of those things are symbolic, obviously. But they have to make a heart connection. It's meaningless to God if you put in your tithe today and you don't even think about it. He doesn't need your money. He's never needed your money. He wants your heart. It's meaningless to God if you eat the bread today and it doesn't make a heart connection and you drink the blood. It's meaningless if you don't make the heart connection. Just don't do it. In fact, Paul says don't do it. He said a man ought to examine himself before he takes the bread and drinks the cup. Examine yourselves. What Paul, I think, is desperately trying to get us to understand is that it has to make a heart connection. It cannot just be in the mind. So I would just encourage you today that if you examine yourself and you've got unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, if you're bitter, if you're angry, don't take it. Don't take it. It's a high calling when you take this. It's real. Scripture says it'd be better for you to go lay your sacrifice on the altar and burn it before you do this. Meaning, if you have unforgiveness towards somebody, forgive them and then take it. Go to them and get forgiveness and then take it. But don't take it flippantly. Today, I want to go, we're going to come from the Gospel of John 6. So y'all can turn with me there, or you can read it up on the screen here. We're going to be the Gospel of John Chapter 6, starting at verse 25. And we're going to lead into this, just give you a little context. Jesus has been healing people right before this. He fed the 5,000 with just a couple of fish and some bread from a little boy that brought his lunch. He fed 5,000 people like that. And And when he finished, he went out and he got on the lake, or his disciples got on the lake, and they went across, and in the middle of the night, Jesus walked on water. They got him in the boat and went to the other side. So here they are on the other side of the lake, it says, in verse 25, 6:25, and this is where it starts. Scripture says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, the people asked him, they said, Rabbi, when did you get here? Because they knew there was no way that he could have got there without getting in the boat, and they didn't see him get in the boat. Jesus answered them, and he said, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me, not because you saw a miraculous sign, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. But don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the work God requires? And Jesus answered them and said, the work of God is this, it's to believe the one that he has sent. So Jesus simplified it pretty good there, didn't he? They said, what is it we got to do to meet the requirements of God? And he said, there's just one, just believe in me, and that's it. So they asked him, they said, well, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So it's funny because, you know, he just fed them 5,000 of them miraculously, and that wasn't enough. They needed more. Jesus said to them, he said, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and you still don't believe. All the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him, and because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven, they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I came from heaven? I always feel bad for the Jews in this area. If any of you have ever, you know, anybody that's got any age on them that's seen somebody beside him grow up, if you saw a you saw him in diapers, you know. I was thinking about Nate Goodson. I've known him since he was a baby, you know. But he told me he was the Son of God. Can you imagine the difficulty to believe that? A lot of these people had seen Christ raised. They said, we know your mama. We know your daddy. How can you say these things? And yet, there was something else going on where he was doing these miracles, raising the dead. How could you overcome that? And this is what Christ is teaching us in this. He said, right here before this, he said, only the people that my Father draws in can get this. You understand, this had to be a spirit. This had to come from the Holy Spirit. It's the only way. Because our natural minds could never conceive that. They could never understand. I could never understand. I can't think of one person in my life that could tell me that they were the Son of God that I would just say, okay. I don't even care if they raise the dead. I probably would still say, you're not, you know. But if the Holy Spirit within me opened my eyes, then I can. And Jesus is making a big point here to say that. So just keep listening. He keeps saying, only the ones that the Father gives me are the ones that can come. Okay, so How can he say he came from heaven? 43. Stop grumbling amongst yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's the third time he said that. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Say that with me. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert and they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give the life of the world. Christ himself was the bread. We'll go on. I'm not going to get sidetracked. But then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us flesh? It's a good question. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat my flesh, he says it again, he's doubling down, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's powerful. We're taking communion today. Think about this now. Now this is symbolic. Of course it's symbolic. But there's literal sense in the spirit. He doesn't physically want us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Spiritually, he literally wants that. He literally wants you to eat his flesh and drink his blood. He is the Word. This is his flesh. Let's keep going. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna, and they died. Again, he said, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing this, I might go beyond here, but on hearing this, many of his disciples said, what? This is a hard teaching. So I let myself off the hook after I read this. I said, well, okay, good. At least they felt like it was hard too. This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? Listen to these words. Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Do you want to leave too? He asked the 12. Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You're the only ones with the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. And he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who though one of the 12 was later to betray him. It's a lot. That's a lot. Good old Peter. He Made a lot of mistakes, Peter did, but he got the big things right, didn't he? Love Peter. Well, there's so much in that scripture. There's so much to learn. And again, I want you to keep your mind on the context of communion or what we're doing today. It's a hard teaching. It really is a hard teaching. It's hard to understand the implications of it all. But I want to make a couple of points, and then we'll go eat. But my first point about this scripture, about this burden of the communion, basically, is the same one as last time, is that it's serious. That Christ is taking it serious. The implications are life or death in this. That's the way he looks at it. He didn't take it easy on these people at all, did he? He badmouthed Moses pretty much. Not badmouthing, but he said, you think it was Moses that gave you that manna? It wasn't Moses. It was my father. That's the first mistake they made. They thought it came from Moses. All the time the Jews were arguing that Moses did this and Moses did that. Jesus said, Moses wrote about me. You're missing the whole thing. You're missing it. He was serious about it. He understood Christ did. He not only said it one time about the flesh. There's so many other analogies that you feel like you can make better than eat my flesh and drink my blood. I mean, isn't there? How interesting is it that Christ was not afraid to lose people? I want you to think about that. He knew, just like you would know, that if he said these things, people were going to leave. He knew it. But he didn't cater to the crowds. You know, Eric Metaxas, the guy who wrote Bonhoeffer, the author, wrote a book called Letters to the American Church. And he said one of the biggest mistakes we've made in evangelical churches in this day and time is that we have put entertaining and witnessing to people on the very top of the list of Christians to be done. And he said, and it never has been that way. The problem with that is that once you bring them in with entertainment and basically coddling and catering to people, you're going to have to do that forever to keep them. He said the number one call to all Christians is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second one is like it, and that's to love your neighbor. We put witnessing a lot of times on top of that. And don't get me wrong, obviously witnessing is amazing. I'm not saying that. But not at the expense of the truth. Christ had no fear, apparently, here of people leaving when they heard this difficult teaching. And not only did he not fear it, he doubled down again when they started grumbling about it. He heard them and he said, I'm saying it again. Did I stutter? I'm telling you, you have to eat my flesh. And then he goes on to say, the only ones that are going to stick around anyway are the people my father's given me. So you weren't mine anyway to begin with. And it doesn't mean that he didn't love them. It's just they weren't his right then. Maybe later on some of those people turned. But the scripture says that many disciples, these weren't just the crowd, many disciples turned and followed him no more. I bet that was painful for him. I bet that was sad. Can you imagine if we were in here and crowds started coming and we were getting thousands of people in here and then I said something that ran off half the people? Y'all would be wanting to get off the stage. I would be too. That's a mistake, probably. Jesus did what the Father told him to do. That's all he did. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. And if that means that you're going to leave because you're offended by a teaching, then so be it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. This is so needed in our culture in this day and time. It is so needed. Here's a good question is, are you willing to share the truth at the risk of losing a friendship or at the risk of losing a person that you might feel like it's so close to coming in? Now, I think you have to have discernment here, but I don't think that you should ever do it at the expense of the truth. Or I should say more so, you should never do it at not being obedient to God. Are we too afraid to lose our status? Are we too afraid to lose you know, the thought that I don't want anybody to think I'm a weird Christian, because I don't know what they know about me.
But after this, they thought he was a weird Christian. I'm telling you. If anybody said this, in fact, if anybody says this now, you should think they're a weird Christian. That's very odd. If somebody tells you to drink their blood. But he wasn't just anybody. He was the Son. Paul says that when we drink the cup and eat the bread, we're proclaiming the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's going into your body. And God holds it. Let me tell you something. God holds it whether you hold it or not. He sees it and he binds it in you. And he says, I saw that from heaven. You drank my blood and you ate my flesh. And it's a good thing. This is not a bad thing. I'm saying it's a good thing. Unless you're doing it in an unworthy manner. I believe that God holds it every time we get up here and we sing songs that say, I give you my life. I give you my all. I believe he listens to that and says, thank you. Got it. I don't think that every word, I think every word is held. That doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. He loves you. He knows you. He knows me. He knows we're going to say stupid things and do stupid things. But don't think that he's not listening. He hears us. And it's binding. I think Christ wanted the shock factor. I think he wanted to shake them to their core. I think he wanted to break the traditional ruts that they were in. I think he wanted to shake it up. I thought it was interesting to think that it wasn't enough for Christ to be giving them food for their physical body. He says, your fathers ate manna in the desert, and they died. God kindly provided this food that fell from heaven. The Bible says it tasted like honey, bread. And they complained. They said, oh, that we were back as slaves in Egypt. At least we had potted meat there. That's what they said. As they're being whipped. I think he wanted to shake them. Christ, it's not enough to just eat the bread and hoping for sustenance for one day. He wants to be in you. He wants to be a part of you. Let me just say this. He doesn't just want to be in you. He doesn't just want to make you a better person. He wants you to die. He wants you to get out of the way. And he wants to live in you and through you. Listen, I'm telling you, this is so important. He doesn't want to just make us better people. He doesn't just want to make me a good man. Do you understand that? He wants me to die. And he wants to live through me. And in that, I get to join with him in the glorious riches of knowing him and being with him forever and ever and ever. Eternity starts here, not when we die. We always look to heaven. It's now. Now's the time. But he doesn't want to make me a better person. Listen, it's not enough. It's not enough to just know about Christ. It's not enough. It never has been enough. It's not enough to teach a good Bible study. It's not enough to get up here and preach. It's not enough just to have him on the exterior. This is what's so important about eating his bread. Eating his body and drinking it. He's removing all gaps. There's nothing anymore. He says, no, you can't just deal with me like hands on. It's hands down and let me in. Because I'm coming in or there's nothing. Or there's nothing. You can follow his ways. You can follow his ways and you can have probably a decent life. But there's a difference between him being in you and living through you. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. He said, I died. I no longer live. He lives in me. The life I live in this body, he said, is by the Spirit of God. So there was no Brantley, good Brantley with God. It's either Brantley's dead and God lives, or Brantley lives and God's dead in me. That's it. Because he will not give it to another man. He will not give his love. He is jealous for us. He wants it all. And it's what we were created for. Literally, it's what we were created for. They didn't need more food here. Jesus said, you're following me, not because, he said, not because you want to hear me teach, or even because of the miracles that you saw. You're following me because you're hungry. He so desperately wanted to give them himself. And he just, they kept on just wanting food. They wanted something that was material that would only last for a minute. Gosh, I mean, I just think about this so clearly. I think about my kids when they were young, my boys, you know, and they're just wanting something so bad. These little material things, and I'm like trying to offer them something that they can invest in and have for the rest of their life. And they're like, oh, but I want the toy. It's insane. We're the same way. Christ, this is what he's saying about the fathers in the desert. They wanted manna. He gave them manna. And God rained down manna for them and gave them food. But they missed the fact that he was trying to give them himself. That's all he wanted. The whole time was to give him himself. And they just kept complaining about food. And that's why they ate it and died. Christ wants to take external food, or he wants to get from the external to the internal. Switching our mindset from physical food to spiritual food. It's true that the bread, if you haven't eaten in many days, you'll eat that and it will give you sustenance. It will give you life. It will keep you alive for a few more days. But what he's giving is something that will keep you alive for eternity. It's so much better. It's so much better than the food that we can get. And that's what he's trying to get them to see. And they can't see it. And you can just hear his frustration. We have to let him in. We have to literally eat his flesh and drink his blood every day. And with that comes eternal life. We can't just be near him. We can't just follow his ways. He must live in us. There's so many scriptures like this, and as I keep studying and getting older, I keep seeing them more and more, that when you get Christ, you get it all. You don't want to pray, God, make me a man of truth. You want to pray, God, Christ, live in me. Because if you get him, you get the truth. Everything is like that. Love, peace, joy, hope. You get him, you get it all. When he came to Mary and Martha, and they were talking about Lazarus being raised on the last day, and she said, I know everybody's going to be raised at the resurrection. He said, no, you miss it. I am the resurrection. I am it. You get me, you get the resurrection. You get me, you get the bread of life. He is everything. He is everything. I want to get rid of trying to follow so many rules and regulations that are just so weighty. And it's not what he ever intended for us. You get him, you get it all. He said, all the prophets, all the laws hinge upon two things. That's to love God and to love your neighbor. We don't have to worry about all the rules and regulations and trying to be a good person. And before I can do anything with God, I got to quit drinking, or I got to quit smoking, or I got to quit cussing, or I got to just get him in you and you'll stop all those things. I promise, I've done it. I doubt anybody in here has been as far as I've been. Get him, you get it all. And that's what he's offering with the bread and the cup. We must literally feed on him. I told my wife last night we were talking, I said, if I hold a piece of bread and I have a cup of water in my hand and I'm starving to death but I never ingest it, what good is it to me? And often, a lot of times, I feel like that's what I do with God. Is I know his ways and I know he's around, but I don't really want to let him in. I really don't want to let him in because maybe there's something in me that I'm afraid that he's going to deal with. And I don't want him to deal with it. But then I hear this verse that he says, but if you don't do it, you have no life. He has to come in all the way. He has to come in all the way. Then you get the nutrients that come from God, which is eternal life. Again, Christ doesn't want us just to be good people. He wants to live through us and in us. I've already covered this a little bit. I'm almost done. But like I said earlier, Christ wasn't afraid of losing people. We shouldn't be either. But you got to be wise. I'm not trying to say act like a fool. But I do believe, I'll say this about myself, to be vulnerable. I know for a fact that I have hindered the truth in dealing with somebody because I was so afraid that if I said this, they might leave. And yet they're dying. And you know what's funny or interesting about the whole thing is the people I'm talking about left anyway. And I never was able to give them the truth because I was just tiptoeing around on eggshells. And Christ didn't do that. He came with truth and love. And that's what we should do. It's come with truth and love, but never one more great than the other. Truth and grace. Grace and truth. We have to get to a point where we're not afraid to share the truth in love and in grace. And if they leave, it is never yours to keep. Are we willing to lose our status? Like I said, our freedom on the planet. Well, Jesus is the bread of life, and he gave himself for us. His body was broken for us so that you could have real life. Real life. Not life what we've experienced probably. I'm sure some of us have had real life. I want real life. How many of you want real life? Where you know that you're in the will of God. Every morning you wake up. You can go to bed every night and lay your head down and know that he's living through you and in you. I want that. And that's what we're proclaiming when we take this, is that we're saying to him as we're about to take the cup and the bread, we're saying that you can come into me. I will crucify myself. I will die and you can live in me. I want your blood in my veins and your bread in my body. His body was broken for us and his blood was spilled for us. Well, I'm going to ask the ushers to come up and let's grab the bread and we're going to take this communion together. Let's turn over to Matthew 26 real quick and I'm going to do that and then we're going to pray. But examine yourselves. Matthew 26, right? Y'all still with me? All right. We're going to just read this. We're going to take it together. And then I'm going to pray over us, and that'll be for the potluck, too, so you don't got to wait. All right, let's see here. Verse was it here? Okay. Matthew 26. Let's go ahead and pass it out, guys, if you don't mind. Take some bread and cup. Nate, will you help out with that? Just get on the other side and thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Lord. Grabbing those from you, Nate. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Well, amen. Matthew 26. Why don't y'all stand? Would please. This is at the Last Supper. But Jesus said, I eagerly want to have it. Scripture says, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and gave it to his disciples saying, take this and eat. This is my body. It's broken for you. Let's take it together. And he says, then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he offered it to them, saying, drink it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for me for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of its fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with my Father in the Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to Mount Olives. So, let's take the blood, let's drink together. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. That you endured the cross for the joy set before you. That you allowed your body to be broken and your blood to be spilled. For us, for Maggie, you said to do this in remembrance of you, Lord. And we're doing it today in faith, believing that you are truly living in us, that your blood is now our blood, and your flesh is now our flesh. I pray that you bless your people here today, Lord. I pray that you heal any sicknesses that are in the room, Father. I pray that you let us rejoice in fellowship with you as we eat together the potluck dinner today. I thank you that you love your people, that you love the body of Christ. And it's a mystery, Lord, but we are yours. And you are ours. And I'm so thankful for that today. Bless the food as we go in there to eat today, Lord. Pray that it'll be a blessing to us. Thank you for all the people that brought it. And just have your way in the meeting, Lord. Bless this week, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. You're dismissed.